Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Phil.
And I'm Jane.
Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up,
the relatable dating podcast.
This is a trigger warning. This episode contains talks of depression, mental health, and suicide. So if this affects you in any way, then please turn off.
Hello, welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up. I'm Jane and this is Phil. And today we're joined by Aidan, who is the founder of It's Okay Clothing Company.
Hello.
Hi. Do you want to tell us first about It's Okay Clothing or your story? Let's go with your story first.
Like, should we start with my story? Yeah. So should we do a trigger warning because it does get quite hard? So my story started in 2018. So end of 2018, I was in a relationship, been married for 9 years, relationship 15, and got married, really happy, worked really hard, got a nice new house. Everything was just like going. I was the smuggest guy ever. My wife at the time fell pregnant, which was awesome. And then we lost the baby and things just spiraled from there. So I found myself 4 or 5 months later, early 2019, driving back to Norfolk, where I'm from, with 4 bin bags and my life in the car and my dog. And that was it. Relationship over. Lost baby, lost house, lost everything I kind of worked for 15 years. And I found myself starting again back in Norfolk. So with that, I became depressed. So only slight depression to start with. I plastered it with a new relationship. I plastered it with buying fancy things and leather jackets and car and all lots of things. But really, fundamentally, under all of that, I was depressed. So I had a good 8 or 9 months suffering with severe clinical depression. So I've lost then more loss. So my aunt had a major heart attack. So I was dealing with the loss of that, or not the loss, but having that happen. Relationship broke down because I was depressed and angry and stressed and just not me. And then roll forward to the February 2020, I found myself on a beach in North Norfolk and I had decided to take my life. So all of that compiled within the space. Probably people have those things going over the period of probably 20, 30 years, maybe the whole lifetime. And I had it compressed in a year and a half, 18 months. And yeah, I just couldn't take any more loss, pain, trauma. I sat on this beach and I was relieved that I'd kind of decided that I didn't want to be here anymore, which was really tough, really, really tough. But, you know, my story starts like so many stories where people start with loss and start with a big trigger thing in their lives. They get to the point that I did and they don't find their way back and they cut it short there, which is horrific. But luckily for me, I got a phone call from my son to check in, and yeah, it propelled me on this new journey of finding myself and getting therapy and getting help and finding a support network and getting this new amazing brand started. So that's a little bit of my story of like 18 months of pain and hard work. And
it just shows you how, you know, it started off with one thing and it just built up to more and more. Was there a point where did you speak to anybody during that time, or did you keep your feelings to yourself?
So for me, I did open up. You know, many people don't do this, and I can understand totally why people don't do it, because it's a scary world when you start to open up. But I will give you an example. I mean, I opened up to my own mum about it, really sad, crying on the phone, really down, need some help. Phone went down. She rang my siblings and was like, oh, he's doing it for attention. He's doing it. He's kind of making it up. So it was kind of like you kind of open these channels of network and you don't get the response that you might not get, and I didn't get the response I get. I felt so alone and so like I had to deal with my own. So I did. I tried to deal with my own, and that kind of took me down the path of, you know, a really hard path, really.
Mm-hmm. So tell us the story about It's Okay. Where did that name come from?
So It's Okay. So while I was recovering, I used to get up in the morning with my dogs. My dog's been absolutely phenomenal. I've got a 5-year-old Spocker Spaniel. And she has just been my routine, and the thing that's got me through it is routine. So I used to get up every morning and I'd be like, do you know what, I'm in a really bad place, you know, things are going to be better, it's going to be okay. And that's the thing I did every morning, like, to set my day up with, it's gonna be okay today, we're gonna get through it. So when I recovered or got to a point where I was really, really strong, it had to be It's Okay for the brand name. It had to be, because that's what got me through and empowered me to get through every day. So it was just kind of like really did sit perfectly for what I'm trying to do with the brand of empowering people.
That's amazing. And what a great achievement. Like, you, I mean, as you say, you're completely empowering people. I looked on your website and I was actually shocked to see that there's 125 suicides a week. I mean, so 125 lives are lost every week to suicide.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is that in the UK?
That's in the UK.
So every 40 seconds, somebody takes their life in the
world. So, yeah, if you look at it on globally, it's every minute, they say, on average. So a person takes their life to suicide every minute. And I think looking at statistics of guys, and we'll take guys just an example, being a guy, and the statistics show where the kind of like the difference is, it's every 4 suicides, 3 of those are men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just shocking to me.
But,
and I didn't realise until I started kind of my brand that those are so high.
Do you think a lot of that is to do with the stigma, stigma that has been put on men, basically, about not talking about it or talking about their feelings, and we've got to be the providers?
Absolutely. So when I was kind of struggling, it talks about my kind of my parents earlier. I had got a good friend, a really dear friend, and I've kind of educated him, but it's the same friend I was talking about earlier, but he's obviously been through some trouble and he kind of understands it a little bit now. But my friend, when I said to him, like, I'm really, really struggling, all I got was, what have you got to struggle about? You've got a new house, you've moved back to Norfolk, you're near your family, you've got everything that somebody would want. So what have you got to be sad about? You know, snap out of it.
Mm.
And again, it just makes you feel like you can't show emotion. You can't do this as a guy. And I'm sure it's the same for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think personally, I'm not, being a guy, I'm not overly sociable with a lot of people. I'm trying to get better at it. But guys generally go to work, come home. You know, that's what they do. And women generally, I think women find it easier to talk, I think, with other women. But I can see why now, because that's the response I got from another guy. You know, it's really tough. Yeah.
What's been the feedback since you've launched your clothing range? What's kind of the, obviously you're doing it to create awareness. So what's been the feedback from that?
It's been really good, actually. So I think the brand aside, the brand and the clothing, I mean, I'm biased anyway, but the clothing is awesome. I think that it's getting a good rap, and the It's Okay to Be You type thing is empowerment, and people are getting behind that, and people are seeing that it's like, it's really good, like putting this clothing on. It's like somebody described it as being a fabric hug.
Oh, like, that's like a great way.
I've coined it and I've stolen it. So They did get a t-shirt for it, but the reception's been really good. But what comes with that is a lot of people are starting to open up a lot bit more. So one of the things I wanted to do with the brand is not just be a brand that sells clothes and doesn't do any of the work. I'm doing the awareness stuff, but I want to push the awareness to the next level by pulling a community around it. Mm-hmm. So I think the community aspect and the support group that we've started up, the Broken Club, we're getting people join every single day that group, and everybody is supporting each other. And it's just what I set out to do, and it's what they're doing. And it's, I can take a little step back a little bit now, and people are helping each other, which is amazing. It's amazing to see. And people are starting to open up. I mean, I've got somebody in there, I kind of digress what they were talking about, but somebody said, I've sat here for like 2 weeks being scared to talk and seeing everyone else talk. I'm now talking, and it's incredible.
That's amazing. Do you want to tell everybody what the Broken Club is for people who don't know?
So I'm one for saying. So I heard the saying, I don't know where I got it from, but it's the broken help the broken, or the broken support the broken. And really it's kind of like, if you've been through some trauma, you're more likely to be able to support somebody and help someone and give them a lift up if you've been through it yourself. So kind of the broken help the broken is what that actually means. So it's just about shared experiences, really. And that's, I think, where the crux of being and getting recovery is,
yeah,
is a shared experience.
What kind of advice would you give to someone that is going through a hard time? Because, you know, in regards to even, obviously this podcast is all about all things to do with dating, relationships and whatnot, it can take something that, such as a relationship breakdown, or even going on numerous dates and not getting anywhere, to feel so bad about yourself. So what kind of tips would you give to people that are feeling down in themselves?
I would, I think first and foremost, I think you have to give yourself some self-love. I think it's the absolute ultimate, you know, there was a saying, again, another saying, because all they say is that it's like, always put your life jacket on first before kind of doing anything else. And it's that really, really pivotal to somebody recovering from something. And actually, we are all unique. We're all different. We all kind of accept this, you know, we all want this happy life, and we all deserve a happy life. And I think it's just about taking that time for you to really understand the things that have gone wrong, acknowledge where you are, and then start setting yourself really small goals. And ultimately, try and talk, open up. I mean, you might get knockbacks. You might get people that have said to me, like, snap out of it. But ultimately, keep chipping away at people and keep talking, and you will find somebody that is amazing who will listen. And a problem shared is a problem halved, isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah, massively. Massively. Yeah. A question that I've been asked quite a lot, and I am never sure how to answer it. I mean, I've suffered with my mental health, and I want to ask you, when in dating, when would you approach someone about speaking about your mental health? Like,
See, I would say I'm an exception. I don't know what other people are like, but I'm not afraid to say it. I take antidepressants. They've helped me. They've kept me on course. They've kept me thing. And I'm very open. I'm more open than I've ever been in my life about where I am. And I don't know, not the first date, probably not, but once things start to cement a little bit and you get in, I think it's, don't be afraid to say it. That's all I can kind of advise. Like, I don't know, once things start to develop and you start to develop kind of a kind of relationship as such, that's the point where you say, actually, I've been through this, I've suffered with this, I'm doing this to get myself better. And I think people are more in tune with you going, I'm actually trying and bettering my life and improving my life.
Yeah. That you're doing something to make it better. Yeah.
Then the year down the line going, actually, I've been taking all these tablets the whole time and stuff. It's just, I think it's all so much better to be upfront about things.
Yeah. 100%. That's amazing.
Yeah. I just think what you're doing is absolutely amazing. And, you know, going forward, if you've got kind of future plans of, you know, where you're going to take the business or regarding the community?
No, I'm rolling with it now. So yeah. I launched a campaign on Tuesday called FK the Stigma. Now, it's been worded in that way because I'm trying to get it under people's faces and kind of cause a bit of a ripple in society. And my brand's no different. I'm very gung-ho, I'm very defiant, I'm very much like against the norms as such. So I think that it's kind of called Finally Kill the Stigma, but it doesn't look like Finally Kill the Stigma. I won't do what you think or swear on here, but yeah.
No, you can swear on it. I think everyone knows what it's called.
Fuck the Stigma, it's the very stigma. Much in your face. This thing needs to be talked about. We need to spread awareness. We need to get people talking, and that's fundamentally what we're doing. And it's just promoting the hell out of that, really. And the other thing we've started this month is a awareness campaign. So we are donating to Beats Eating Disorders charity at the end of the month. So I've designed some t-shirts around body image and eating disorders, and I'm pushing that and trying to pull some awareness and spotlight. And I think there's 1.25 million people in the UK suffer from eating disorders. So we're kind of trying to bring that to light and do that. But each month is something different for us. I like to focus on a different aspect to mental health, and everyone gets a kind of a piece of the cake then as such.
Yeah.
Because I think that's it with mental health. As soon as you mention mental health, people all of a sudden go, oh, depression. And it's like, mm-hmm. there are so many, many different parts of mental health that people just don't see. They instantly just go, oh, depression. And it's like, there's all these other parts.
Yeah. I think people look at depression. I think people have got this misconception of depression being this sadness thing where you just cry constantly, and it isn't like that. I think for me, it was like going out on a Saturday night and getting absolutely wasted on alcohol and then having the worst hangover the next day. That's what it was like for me for, 18 months. I was just hungover constantly. But it's that kind of thing that we're trying to break a little bit. What I'm trying to break is the conception, the misconception of what mental health is, and it affects us all differently.
Yeah, because you...
Sorry.
I was going to say, because me and Aaron have done some TikTok lives together. We spoke on TikTok and stuff like that. I love the phrase that you use with anxiety and depression. So if you want to tell everyone that.
Yeah, so anxiety and depression. So I've given depression and anxiety two different things. So I see depression as being your past. So depression sits in your past. It's happened. It's a trauma. That's where depression sits. And then your anxiety is the future. So it's the things that we worry about, distant off in the future. We can't control it yet. It's not happened. But if you and then thirdly, in the middle, we've got now, where we are quite in this present moment. We're grounded. But when you look at those two things, like depression has happened. It's in the past. It's kind of not affecting you right now. It's not real. And then the situation isn't real. You're kind of depressed about. And then the future, your anxiety, again, is something that is your flight mechanism. Mm-hmm. But again, hasn't happened yet. So if you think about the two and you push them to the side slightly, and you just concentrate on where you are right now, I think things are easily absorbed and edible. Let me just spit my words out, and you can kind of process it a little better. But with everything that I've ever had, I've kind of given it a name or made it a physical thing to kind of my brain to work it out. But it's all about being grounded and all be about being in the now.
Do you have a specific thing that you do when you ever get a down day? So see now that it's just obviously normal to get down days. When you get one now, do you have a way, do you do things like journaling, or do you go for a walk? Like, what's your way to kind of try and snap out of it, to get that kind of positive mindset again?
So I'm all about acknowledgement and acceptance. So if I'm having a down day, I will do stuff that I really, really enjoy, and I will make sure my focus is on the things I enjoy to try and pull my brain back into a positive place. Journaling I've done since the day dot. I've done it for years. I've had a lot of therapy over the years because of my childhood. I had a bit of a traumatic childhood. So, and one of the first things I learned then is about journaling. So I kind of got this little diary that I write in every day about what's happened, and I can kind of process it. I'm an analyst by job, my real job, my life job. So it's easy for me to kind of analyze where I am and what I want to do. But yeah, it's all about just taking time for you, really. And I think that if we all spent an hour each day just doing something that we really, really enjoy and taking time out, I think we'd all be in a better kind of mindset.
Yeah, that's amazing, because our last guest that we had on, Izzy, she does journaling in the morning before she gets up.
She does it at 5 a.m. I'm so impressed. Yeah. It's 5 a.m.
Does she? Wow.
But she said it's very much about journaling. Yeah. Journaling is the best way, because you can let it all out. You can write it on the page. I think there's a book called Burn After Writing or something.
Burn After Writing. It's really good. I've got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just use a normal journal, and I just write in there every kind of evening after things have happened before I go to bed. And then you think that I spent too long with things whipping around my brain and can't no outlet, and it's all about just getting it out on paper.
And obviously,
yeah, I need to start journaling.
Obviously, you have so you've mentioned before you've got a son, and I always think it's so good to get into the mindset of children just while they're young to, like, you know, make them aware of what things happen in the future. So what kind of conversations are you having with your son to try and prevent things, like, you know, if he ever gets sad? Is there a kind of way you speak to children?
Yeah, I think that with my son, since day one, I've always treated him like an adult. So since he was little, I've never pandered it. Like, I know some people pander and they absolutely love, you know, I love people that do it. But I've always said to my son, like, if he's made a mistake, do you know what? It's on you. It's not on anybody else. So when this happened to me, I think he knew something was going on because I was becoming more and more regressed. I was kind of like not spending time with him. And once I got to a place where I started opening up to certain family members, he was one of the ones, because he's old enough now. He's 19 in March.
You need to look old enough to have a 19-year-old.
I know. He was born on my 20th birthday, and I will take that. So thank you very much. Yeah, that was another conversation for another time. But yeah, that was a bit of a shock at 20, having a son. But yeah, he's been very open. He's open about everything, and I've always kind of let him just find his way in the world.
Perfect.
And he speaks to me, and I speak to him about, if I'm having a tough day or he's having a tough day, we talk to each other about it.
What a good relationship, because that's the thing. It's having that close relationship with someone who can open up to you, it's just going to make things so much easier. And I can't believe that your son called you during your darkest point. And it's crazy, because it's like, that was like a sign. That was like, he saved your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And he knows it, and he's made me buy him a few pounds for it. So.
That's amazing.
But yeah, he's very, very supportive, and I am him. So, but he's in a, I'm going to watch him tomorrow night. He's a lead guitarist for a band called Blue Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So he's phenomenal. So I'm going to watch him tomorrow night at a gig he's got in Bury St. Edmunds. But he's just a cool kid. He's just like, if I had an answer for what he's got at 18, I'd say it'd be a different world now, but he's cool.
We play a little game on here called, like, either or. So basically what we're going to do, we're going to ask you either or questions and then just give a quick reason why. It is mostly to do with dating. So
I've had enough experience.
Yeah. So I'll take the first question, then Jane will take the second.
Wait, do I have? Already, I've sent to you. Perfect. It's like, I'm kind of on the spot here right now.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun,
dun. Okay,
so
yeah.
Would you rather dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person.
Okay.
Why?
Oh yeah, why?
Why? I like to gauge people. So one of the things I would do on a first date, and I've done it all the time, is take somebody out for maybe a burger or somewhere you can get messy with food and chat and have a beer. And I think it's just like, it's all about getting in the natural environment rather than, I've been on some dates before and it's been like, I don't know, it's been all prim and proper and the conversation hasn't flowed. But if you go somewhere where it's a bit lively, you know, it's so much easier. And I do, when I was on Tinder, it's gone now, but when I was on Tinder, there was a point where you can't gauge people. You cannot gauge people at all. And then you meet them and it's like, what?
Yeah.
What's going on? But no, very much a face-to-face person, me.
Okay. Next question. So on a first date, do you prefer just a coffee or food dinner?
Food dinner. Absolutely. Food dinner.
Why? There's whys to all of these.
Because I like food and I like food. I don't know. I've always gone for meals with dates.
That's expensive. In a first date, like, you know, if you're paying for every time, not saying that that's the way, but that can be quite pricey if, you know, you don't get a connection on the first date.
I'm a new age man, Jane. Unless it's a really good date, and then, you know, it's just, it's again where you judge it.
We're splitting this one. when messaging, do you prefer texts or voice notes?
I like voice notes.
Oh, no, you're one of those.
That's two for voice notes so far.
I like voice notes because I like hearing people's voices. I got a thing about it. So I'd be really...
Okay, next question. Are you more nervous about meeting a partner's friends or family?
Family, definitely family. Because when I was married with the girl I was married, her dad took about a year to kind of ground and talk to me. So now meeting people's parents, it's just like rebound kind of memories that come back. And I really fear meeting, because you've got to make an impression. It's always go for like the mum and try and impress the mum, because the mum, you know, you new woman, you rule the roost.
And then final question on this segment, trust. Do they have to earn it or do you trust straight away?
So I've got a trust bucket. There's 100% trust straight away, and it's for that person to lose it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah. I don't take anything for my historical, even like I've been cheated on. Mm-hmm. And I don't take any of that towards anyone, because everyone's different.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've got a trust bucket and that's it. It depletes.
It's amazing.
So, yeah. That's a great way to put it. So are you dating at the moment or are you in a relationship?
I'm in a relationship.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. I try and keep the two separate. So yeah. I try and keep things separate from what I'm doing. But yeah. It's a very early relationship, but yeah, I'm in one.
Have you had any dating disasters?
Oh my God, have I had dating disasters?
come on, we haven't had any dating disasters. Just hit us with your best one.
My best one was, I was speaking to a girl on Tinder, and I was speaking, say 2 o'clock in the afternoon, started speaking to this girl. 6-7 o'clock, went to help my aunt and uncle because they live nearby, and obviously she's a heart problem, so I went to help them out. Was gone for probably 3 hours. Didn't pick my phone up, looked back on my phone, and there was a barrage of texts saying, you're one of those guys, you talk to girls, and then you drop them.
Oh, no.
You're this, that, and the other. So I left it, and I thought, you know, I'm going to handle this in the morning, left it overnight. Next day, I just said, you know, that really inappropriate last night. I was helping my aunt, and I had a heart attack. I did mention this to you yesterday.
Yeah.
You've gone completely ballistic at me on it, and I don't think this is going to go anymore. So left it at that. Next thing you knew, I got, like, probably about 8 naked photos it through saying, can you come back, like, here's a little treat for you, I really want to get to know you, you seem like a lovely guy. It's just like bribery to try and get me back.
I mean,
in the room.
Did it work? Did you go back?
No, I did not.
Good.
Wow, what a lucky escape.
Absolutely.
Oh, I can't believe people thinking sending nudes. It's not like we're dogs, we don't go, oh, treat. Yep.
this changed this mindset of, you know, this change your mindset by sending you nudes. It's like,
No, thank you.
At least wine and dime me first.
definitely.
Well, it's been amazing speaking to you. If people that are listening, if they want to kind of find
your best final thoughts.
Oh, sorry, final thoughts. Make sure you edit this bit out then. At the end of the episode, we can ask our guests final thoughts about, you know, what something maybe you've learned from the podcast. Phil, do you want to go first?
I'm going to say the three bowls things that you haven't said yet. That is going to be my final thought. And Aaron knows what I mean about that. And he's going to say that in a second.
The three what?
The three bowls.
Oh, yes, the plates.
There we go. The free plates, sorry. There we go. That is my final thought, and Aaron's going to tell you all about it now.
Okay, so I try and work my life with free plates. So I have an inner plate, a middle plate, and an outer plate. So my inner plate is everything I can control. Every decision I make goes into that plate. I've got an outer plate of things that I can interfere with, and I have some a little bit, not control as such, but I can adjust it and manipulate it. And then my outer plate is everything I can't control. So everything that happens to me, I put into one of those compartments, and it just makes things so much easier, because a lot of things you get on a daily basis are out of your control. So it's like, why are we stressing about it, and why are we worrying about it, and why are we getting like really anxious about these things, when actually focus on the little plate, life gets much easier. And I always use that It's a bit like Neil off Inbetweeners, where he's talking about dog and God.
Yeah, it's absolutely
that, because actually a lot of things in life you don't really have control over, and you don't have to worry about those things. So, that's my final thought
right there. Jane, what's your final thought?
When you explained between the difference between depression and anxiety, like that was completely new to me. Like it makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of friends that, they do. They're constantly saying, I've got anxiety, depression. It's like a mix of both. But going forward, I can't wait for this episode to come out so they can listen to it and just feel empowered, by your story and, what you've come to achieve now.
Good.
And Erin, what have you either found funny or interesting or something that you've taken away?
I will say this has been the best podcast that I've been on. So thank you for both of you for having me on. And I would love to come back later on some point to get involved in some of the stuff you do.
100%.
I've probably got loads more dating disasters to tell you about. I'm sure I do. Who knows what the future looks like as well, you just never know. But keep up the good work, you two.
Thank you.
It's a phenomenal podcast.
And absolutely.
I just love meeting new people, and it's no different.
Same, 100%. So Jane, back to you.
So if people want to get in touch with you or buy your clothing range, what's the best details?
So website is itsokclothing.com, and Instagram, which I use primarily, is itsok_UK, and then TikTok, I have no idea, but I think it's okclothing.UK.
Yes, that's it. Okay, as in okay. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. But we'll put all the links on. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, because it means so much. And the more people that hear about it, the more obviously people will hopefully share their story as well and get in touch about being in the Broken Club, which is on Discord. It's just been an amazing episode.
And congratulations on your brand. It is amazing.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Jane.
100%. I've got my t-shirt over there, so.
I'm quite shocked you're not wearing it, Phil.
I'm sorry. I had to support this one today. I'm just going to do it. There we go. So thank you for coming on, and thank you everyone for listening. One final goodbye from us all. Bye.
Thank you for listening.
If you want to find out more, you can follow us at Unhinged and Mumbled Up or
Swipe Forever After.
And if you want to send us an email or check out our website, it is www.uadu.co.uk. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.